It's still real to me, damn it!
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the So Real Fest Show, episode number 657 for September 15th, 2022. Welcome to this week's edition of SRTU. I am one after the show. I am Jeff Peck. Joined every single week with us, along with Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, what is up, my friend?
So I'm getting back to my roots tonight as I am sitting in my car doing the show from my phone, getting back to my roots as I'm at the North Alabama State Fair. So I am getting to hang out with legit carny folk all night tonight. So, yeah, so you'll hear the wrestlers talk about, oh, I hate carnies. You know, no. I'm out with legit carnies right now.
Yeah, we used to do a bit way back in the day when Dr. Trey was traveling the country for work. He was literally in a new city, new town each and every week. And I would be like, where in the world is Dr. Trey Franklin this week? I actually think that's how we like started off the show. It was like, Dr. Trey, where in the world are you this weekend? And we'd be like, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm in Newark, New Jersey. My favorites, when you would be in like a Walmart parking lot and then you would give us like Walmart parking lot theaters to what you were seeing.
So it's funny you mention it because so with my job I took back in June, I run all the live events for a gutter company. So we go out to basically any place that can draw a crowd, like a family friendly crowd. We don't do like big concerts just because people usually get too drunk and they don't give a crap about gutters. But like any place that can draw a crowd, we set up a booth and talk to people about our system. And in the last couple of weeks, I was at a, where was I at there? I was at a place in Jasper, Alabama. And I literally said, it was called the Foothills Festival. And I compared it. I said, it's not really the Foothills Festival. This is kind of the mullet and camel toe jamboree. Because that's all I was seeing. And tonight I'm at, and it's not even the state fair. The funny thing is, this is called the North Alabama State Fair. North Alabama is not its own state. So I don't know how it's a state fair because I'll actually be at the Alabama State Fair tomorrow setting up for our show. But, yeah, like around here, there's a lot of people that I don't know how God has not taken them yet because legitimately I just look at them and I'm like, you just look like every wrong decision in life. Like it's just no teeth and like 300 pounds wearing shorts and a cutoff shirt, and this is guys and girls. I mean, it's not sexist. I mean, I've seen more guys walking around in belly shirts tonight than I have back when I was in Orlando, back when I was traveling. Like, it's crazy what you see at these events. And that's how I hire people. When I bring people on, I'm like, look, the great thing about this job, especially if you're in college or you're coming out of college, you're in the workforce, you learn how to talk to people from every walk of life. There is, like, every socioeconomic divide is eliminated when you come to fairs and festivals and things like that. So, but Jeff, I mean, you've known me now for 12 years.
Longer, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, this is legitimately the most fun I've had at a job since I managed a Blockbuster way back when you first met me.
Yeah, I feel like this is the most fun you've had is what you're doing right now, which is great.
I love my job. Although today I did drive over 400 miles, so I'm a little.
You're so.
I've already done,
you are so used to that, though.
Well, I haven't done it in like 3 years. And so like I had to drive from my house to Montgomery, Alabama and back. And that's about a 5 hour trip. And I got to my house. I'm like, man, my hip is sore. Like I haven't done. And that was before I even drove up here to where I'm at. And that's another 2 hours from my house the other direction. So I'll do between 8.5 and 9 hours of driving today alone. And I'm only working at the fair. The fair's only going to run for about 4 hours.
Wow.
So like, I did 9 hours of driving for 4 hours of work.
Wow. So there you go. It's like the old school here. Old school days, longtime listeners of the pod. Where in the world is Dr. Trey Franklin? He has gotten away from a state fair to record the podcast this week. That is dedication, my friends and family. So let's get into it, Dr. Trey. We'll start kicking off here with AEW. We have a very big match coming up this Wednesday, AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. John Moxley will be taking on Brian Anderson in the finals of the Grand Slam Champions Tournament. Currently, Brian Danielson is selling an ankle injury. There's lots to discuss here. So I have a booking strategy that I have that I think will play out here. But your initial thoughts here, Moxley, Danielson, this Wednesday, who do you think should be the AEW champion coming out of Grand Slam?
Like, who do I think, or who do I think they're going to put the title on? Because those are two different answers.
All right, okay, this is good, because let's do... So who should I think and who will? So I guess if you're saying who I think it should be, is it someone that's not in the match?
No. I between these two guys, I think they should put the belt back on Moxley, because I think Moxley MJF's the most compelling thing, and more than likely they'll still go that route because you've seen all the MJF promos. But I have this weird feeling with the ankle injury. They may put it on Daniel or Brian Danielson just because of the underdog mentality. Like, look at the guy overcoming obstacles. And I still think Brian Danielson and MJF could be compelling television. I almost feel like a couple weeks, I don't know if you noticed, a couple weeks ago, they were interviewing Chris Jericho, and it was before the Paige Danielson match. And he said, I really look forward to facing Brian Danielson in the semifinals. And I was like, are they giving away? Did Jericho just spoil the match by saying that? And then I kind of feel like with all these MJF promos about Moxley, are we spoiling this by already setting up Moxley MJF? But Moxley was also supposed to go on vacation after All Out, and that didn't happen. So maybe this is just his way of putting the belt on Danielson so he can take his 3 month vacation and go off with Rene Paquette somewhere.
So I have an interesting theory about this. So I was on the Bragman Breakdown podcast, which we've shared up on our Twitter feed. Young man Jackson Bragman interviewed me over the weekend, and he asked me that question. Who do I think should be the AEW World Champion? And my choice is, with the people involved in the match, Moxley, right? He wants the ball. This is a very important time in the history of AEW. Who do you want to give the ball to is John Moxley right now. And you bring up a great point that, you know, the booking is telling you that we're getting a Moxley-MJF feud right now at some point. And you would think, okay, Moxley wins at Grand Slam. And then it probably leads towards Moxley-MJF, Newark, New Jersey for Full Gear. Danielson's involved with Jericho and Daniel Garcia right now. So that doesn't seem like a world championship feud. It seems like all signs are pointing towards Moxley winning, and it's going to be a feud with MJF. I actually think that AEW kind of tipped their hands in another way with this ankle injury from Brian Danielson. So it's been a long time since we've done some crazy booking, but let's do it here, Dr. Trey. So I'm saying Wednesday's Dynamite Grand Slam, you kick off the show with Moxley Danielson. That means that they have the whatever allotted amount of time. You don't have to worry about cutting it short. You let them go. Moxley comes out to the ring. Great. Danielson's on his way out. MJF takes him out. Right? Ankle injury. Takes him out so bad, he cannot perform in the match. They stop the segment. They go back. Brian Danielson's unable to compete. And MJF says, well, I am cashing in my poker chip tonight. And it's going to be MJF versus John Moxley for the world title. I think that's one scenario, right? And I think MJF walks out. No matter what, spoiler alert, I think MJF walks out of Grand Slam this Wednesday as the new AEW World Champion. I think it's crazy, but hear me out. So I think that's one scenario. Second scenario, they go through this brutal match. Maybe Danielson wins, Moxley wins. I'm going to go with Moxley. And we don't know this with the poker chip, but MJF comes out and he cashes the poker chip in and defeats Moxley a la Money in the Bank briefcase style. And he walks out as AEW World Champion. Nonetheless, Moxley Danielson, I don't think it ends with him. I think Moxley is going to go back away on vacation. They'll bring him back a month from now to set up a match with maybe him and MJF at Full Gear. They just needed him for a couple weeks. And I think they're going to put the title on MJF right now, Dr. Trey. I think it's crazy, but hear me out. That is my crazy booking theory on this, that MJF is the one that actually walks out as AEW World Champion next Wednesday.
So my only question, so have we done this Casino Battle Royal before?
We have. And it's funny that you bring that up because I think now Wardlow won a TNT championship match. Brian Cage, when he debuted, won this match and had a match with Jon Moxley. And it was like at one of those special dynamites. It was like, you know, whatever they do for Winter is Coming, St. Patrick's Smash or New Year's Smash. They do all that crap, right? It was one of those special dynamites. They did not cash it in at a pay-per-view.
The reason I bring that up is because I was not under the impression that it was a cash-in type chip like the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Agreed.
I just thought that guaranteed them a title shot that they could pick when they had the title shot, but it had to be kind of agreed to. Like it was, hey, I'm taking advantage of this thing and I'm gonna set up my, I keep saying cash-in because that's what we're used to. Like, but then MJF in his promo last week said that this guarantees me I can set my match whenever I want. I'm like, I didn't know that was the rules because wouldn't Brian Cage have picked a better opportunity to have his match than on a random Dynamite for some super shit? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they've never really explained the rules to this chip. And that's why for me, like in my head, I have Danielson win. Moxley goes on his vacation or whatever it is for a couple months. Let him take a couple months off. Then you can do MJF and Danielson. Now MJF has this this affiliation with his friend and the quote unquote firm, which then can then lead into the firm and, you know, Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah. And then the JAS gets involved as well because, did I hear this correctly? Jericho's challenging Claudio for the Ring of Honor championship as well?
They're teasing that. They tease that on Rampage. Yes.
Okay. So that's why I'm kind of like, well, maybe or maybe Jericho, because of his hatred for MJF and the JAS, end up siding with the Blackpool Combat Club because if you only have Claudio, Bryan Danielson, and Wheeler, they're outnumbered 6-3. You know, so maybe Jericho jumps in to help them out. Because, I mean, he's still getting huge pops in these things. So, like, to me, even if you just do MJF against Danielson at the next pay-per-view, and then the firm gets involved, and the firm keeps beating down Blackpool Combat, and then Moxley here in 3 months comes back and makes a save, and then you get MJF and Moxley coming out of that. Other issue is, we still don't know what's going on with the guys who got suspended. So it's like, the booking is still a little bit like, I don't know, are they fired? Are they still here? Are we waiting? Like, we don't know what's going on. But to me, I just think they're gonna put on Danielson, do Danielson MJF for a little bit, and then Moxley comes in to make the save and regain the glory for the Blackpool Combat Club after they get their ass kicked for 3 months.
It should be noted here that last night's edition of Dynamite had average audience of 1.175 million viewers. That's up 14% from last week's 1.035 million, and it's the highest viewership for the show since September 22nd, 2021, which was also the Grand Slam episode. So they're trending in the right direction so far still. The ankle injury thing, back to the match here at hand, Dr. Trey, really has my spider senses tingling. I'm like, why would you do this? Like, it reminds me of that old school tournament booking, right? Whenever you do a tournament, well, the one-night tournaments, I always think of like King of the Ring. There was always like a major injury that one of the stars had overcome. I think there was like 1 year, I think it may have been like 1-2-3 Kid had an injury. I want to even say Bret Hart worked an injury in like the 93 King of the Ring throughout the, that was the story of the tournament. And I think they're doing that again. They're like doing that old school tournament injury that makes you wonder like, okay, like what happened here? You brought up the firm. Like, could the firm take out Danielson before the match so he's unable to compete? Like, it just, I just have this sneaky feeling that what we expect is going to happen doesn't happen at Dynamite Grand Slam. Like, I think the order of surprise, right? I think everybody expects Moxley to win. Like, that's the easy, like, okay, that's safe booking. Then obviously it's Danielson, because it's like, okay, nobody sees that coming just the way that his booking is right now. And then the third thing is MJF. And I think AEW is looking for headlines right now, and what better headline can do it than if you have someone that you least suspect actually leave Grand Slam as the new AEW World Champion. So that's my push right now, Dr. I just feel like there's a lot of these little tea leaves that we're talking about and the way that things are being booked that we kind of have an idea of where things are going, but we wonder if Tony Khan and the AEW creative team makes us want to go look this way, but we're going to go that way at the end of the day.
So is Grand Slam two nights or just the one?
Well, it's Wednesday night and then obviously Rampage.
Okay, so because in my head, like, to me, the ankle injury is you do that for a couple of reasons. Either A, you're doing it to create sympathy, because we know the crowd's going to be split. The crowd loves Brian Danielson, the crowd loves John Moxley. They're going to be split down the middle. If you play the ankle injury, it does tend to give some of those people who are going to, you know, typically support Moxley are going to lean towards a sympathetic babyface. And then maybe when Brian wins, he gets a much bigger reaction. You get the handshake, and then the firm jumps both guys, and that way you can write off Moxley for a month or two, however long he goes on vacation for. And then MJF just says, hey, next week on Dynamite, I'm cashing this chip in, after they leave, you know, those guys late. Second, the other reason is, hey, maybe Mox turns heel and that's why he takes off. Who knows? Like, maybe
really
he plays up, you know, he beats down the angle so much that, you know, the ref calls the match, Regal comes, that gets in his face, because people forget.
Wow, that's true.
This whole thing started as a rivalry between Mox and Brian Danielson, and Regal had to make them be friends and basically kind of hug it out, slap it out, whatever you want to call it. And that could come full circle, because that was the whole premise. Like, Brian Danielson wanted to challenge John Moxley to see if Moxley could beat him. So there is a way to spin it that way as well. So the one thing I love about this is the same thing I've been saying what's been great about WWE lately is they're leaving us with cliffhangers and reasons to tune in to watch. We now have that, because we have the cliffhanger from last week's show, or from Wednesday's show, with, you know, Moxley, or with Moxley and Danielson. Everybody's intrigued to see how it plays out. And then you could do another one next week based on how you book this. The fact that we don't really know how the story is going to play out has us all intrigued, which is why we go to tune in and watch, and that's why you're drawing, you know, more, you know, 14% more fans than you had the week before, because you're actually writing decent TV right now.
So are we overthinking it, Dr. Trey, at the end of the day, or do you think it could be a little bit more, or is it very cut and dry, it's Moxley or Danielson?
To me, if I'm AEW and I have the chip in the hands of MJF, I'm saving it for a bigger moment. Like, as much as it'd be great for him to cash in on Dynamite for Grand Slam and might pop a number or something like that, I would kind of want people to know it's coming, just because MJF's got a lot of fans. There's a lot of people that want to watch that kid win the title. And although they may tune in for Grand Slam hoping, if I can almost guarantee it, kind of like the you know, RVD calling his shot with Money in the Bank against John Cena, you know, that got a huge number because people from ECW, those ECW fans that kind of drift away from WWE, jumped back on to watch that watch the one night stand. It became one of the highest rated pay per views of that timeline. So I would kind of save it and hopefully pop a really big number for it, then just kind of do it out of the blue. Like, Money in the Bank, I mean, as much as we all love the Dolph Ziggler Money in the Bank cash-in on Del Rio back in, was it 08? It didn't pop a big number because nobody knew it was coming. It was the Raw after WrestleMania, so it got a decent number and huge reaction, but it didn't really change the numbers for Raw afterwards because it wasn't announced.
Switching gears here, it's interesting, Dr. Trey. We'll talk more, obviously, on next week's show, who the new AEW World Champion is and how the execution is, and if it was fulfilling as wrestling fans as we were watching it take place on Wednesday's Dynamite. Should be a great show. Grand Slam's going to be a lot of fun, and great atmosphere. Really looking forward to it. Like I said, switching gears here, the end of the one-year anniversary of NXT 2.0 episode showed Shawn Michaels talking about the brand and then the logo, the current logo of the different colors in 2.0. And then 2.0 fades away. The colors fade away to white with a yellow outline. And then you just have the black and gold, yellow NXT logo, which tells us, Dr. Trey, that NXT is going back to their black and gold roots. New logo, phasing out of 2.0 on the featured ad. As the end of the one-year anniversary since the relaunch, there's reports out there that the TakeOver series is returning, beginning in October for a premium live event on Peacock for NXT TakeOver Halloween Havoc. Black and gold appears it's back, Dr. Trey. Are you excited?
Cautiously optimistic. Still, like, I'm excited because, I mean, the booking across all the brands in WWE have been much better. Right, like since Hunter took over, I think we could all agree that the TV, at least, has been much better. Black and gold is near and dear to our hearts, but at the same time, you're putting a fresh coat of paint on something that wasn't really, I guess, hitting on all cylinders for most fans. I think a lot of people liked 2.0, but they didn't love 2.0. And just because you paint it black and gold doesn't mean that talent's going to be better now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like, hey, I got a nice car. I gave it a fresh paint job. It's still the same car under that paint job. So I am cautiously optimistic that, hey, maybe this also symbolizes a change in who they're hiring and who they're bringing in and how they're producing it. And, you know, you heard Sean in other interviews talking about how there's now much more of a plan of attack for when guys get moved from NXT to the main roster and how that's going to be a little more seamless, you know, like a much smoother transition. But at the end of the day, you still have guys as security guards. You still have guys running around. You still have a girl wearing pajamas. It's still a lot of the same things that we were kind of being critical of NXT 2.0 for, just now with a better coat of paint.
Are you watching 2.0?
I mean, I check it in. I watched the Breaker Tyler Bate one from a couple weeks ago. I watched Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
So I check it out. I'm not as tuned out as I was, but I'm not as tuned in as I was during the 2.0 day or during the Black and Gold days.
So when you tuned in to Worlds Collide, did you feel like, okay, I should give this a little bit more of a chance on Tuesday nights?
Yeah, because the talent, by bringing in the people they've brought in from the NXT UK, are people that I've been big fans of. Like, bringing in Tyler Bate, they already brought in Pretty Deadly, but bringing in Gallus and, you know, some of those guys. Those people are fantastic wrestlers, and they weren't NXT guys that came up through their system. These were guys and girls that were kind of already on the indies or been in other promotions and are kind of more seasoned veterans. You know, so it's like, okay, the in-ring stuff's a lot better. Seeing Ilya Dragunov pop up, you know, the one-year anniversary show was pretty cool. Like, I'm excited for where it's going, but it's still going to take a little bit of time. So I'm more tuned in now, but there are still things I see on there. I'm like, that's still hokey. Like the security guard angle, like it's great.
I get it. Hand,
but it's still hokey. You know what I'm saying? Like there are still things that remind me of the TL Hopper days of WWE where everybody had a job.
I will say that I feel like 2.0 has won me over lately. I feel like they've been putting together a good stretch of television for maybe the last 3 months. I'm a big fan of like it really reminds me, Dr. Trey, of 2014 NXT on the WWE network. Like where you're bringing in some of the WWE star main roster guys to NXT if they're not working out like Tyson Kidd was. And like now with Apollo Crews, Mandy Rose, giving them a fresh coat of paint, letting them thrive a little bit and reestablish themselves. They were doing that with Cesaro before the WWE Network launch, and it worked out really, really well. I just feel like that this is obviously a step in the right direction, and sometimes when you make things that were old new again and you have the direction going the way that I think most wrestling fans want to see it, that's exciting. I think Triple H did an interview with Ariel Helwani, and they asked him about 2.0, and he basically said, like, these may have been, like, his exact quotes, like, people knew that some of the moves that were being made with NXT was obviously stuff that he wouldn't have done. And, 2.0, when it first launched, was like, whoa, this is a complete opposite from what we were used to with the Black and Gold era of NXT. So I'm excited. I'm excited if they go back to the stuff that I enjoyed with NXT Dr. Dre, but they kind of update it with a little bit more flavor, because it did. Triple H did agree that the brand was a little bit stagnant and it needed some help. And, you know, maybe this is the good happy median in it all, Dr. Dre, is a fresh coat of paint for the brand itself, but also going back to the roots that you and I loved.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that, as much as we love Black and Gold, by the end of Black and Gold, like, everything was kind of serious. You know, everything was about the wrestling. There were no, I mean, Velveteen Dream may have been the anomaly during that time of somebody with just kind of an outlandish gimmick, you know, towards the end of, I mean, not, you know, you had the Bray Wyatts and people like that before, but at the end it was Velveteen Dream, but everybody else was a pro wrestler. And you're seeing that blend. Like, as much as I think the Wendy Choo gimmick is weird, she's made it work. Like, I actually enjoy her stuff. You know, seeing all the vignettes for was it Oliver Carter coming in from NXT UK with a new gimmick, and then was it Quincy Elliott, the Super Diva? Is that the name? I think that's the name. Like, there's some stuff going on in here now. We look and go, okay, well, this is different because I can still have my wrestling, and then we can have some different takes on characters and different, like, you know, variations of characters that we normally didn't see in Black and Gold 2.0. So it does kind of feel like they're trying to blend it together. So it kind of feels like, you know, a divorced mom with three kids and a divorced dad with like three kids, like getting together and trying to make it work.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I do. I guess, you know, when you have a soft spot in your heart for the old NXT and there's still some of that old or that new 2.0 flavor, that it will sit there. But I think this is the direction we want it to go. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, like I said, I'm optimistic. I mean, Hunter hasn't let us down so far. I mean, so it's been, 2 months they've been kind of running the company, and nothing's really been bad or really left a bad taste in anybody's mouth. So, like, and this was always his baby. This was his model. And plus, he's got to get this thing working right, so that way when they go to launch NXT Europe, they have a game plan for it as well. So, like, I'm optimistic about it. And I mean, it really, when you look at the people in NXT, like, there are some tremendously talented athletes in NXT. And so these people just have to learn how to wrestle. Like, I don't want to make it sound like they're Jade Cargill, but, you know, some of them are still a little rough around the edges. And there are still some kind of gimmicky looking stuff. And you're like, I don't know how much I love this. But at the end of the day, listen, as crazy as it is that basically DX is running WWE, when you got Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, and Triple H, you know, in charge of the company, DX is one of our favorite groups, and they did a lot of blend of comedy and serious and wrestling. Like, that was their forte. They could kind of blend all those worlds into one and make the fans react to it. And, you know, these guys know more about wrestling and they still have their pulse on what the wrestling community wants as a whole. So I think it'll be a little more fan-friendly going forward.
Speaking of other things that are plaguing the mind and the plate of Triple H right now as the head of creative, is one, Roman Reigns. According to WrestleVotes, the situation with undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns is, quote, complex, as WWE wants to go into WrestleMania with two champions, but also doesn't want Roman Reigns to lose, quote, at all, between now and WrestleMania, with, quote, at all, emphasized. Citing a source, WrestleVotes said that WWE Chief Content Officer Triple H and his team are, quote, open to all things creatively here. Dr. Trey, this is something that we talked about when it was happening at WrestleMania. This is something we talked about since it's happened. WWE has kind of pigeonholed themselves by having this Undisputed Championship, by having Roman Reigns hold both titles and no world champion being defended at all right now, no way of elevating. You have two brands. It really hasn't worked out like I think they thought it was going to work out, having them on both shows. What's the easiest way out of here? Like, I guess the easiest way would be like, all right, we're just going to book ourselves and say that we want the WWE Championship off of Roman Reigns. We want it defended by a new person. We're not going to have the Undisputed Unified titles anymore, and you move forward that way. The obvious other way would be a triple threat match, which, you know, Reigns doesn't take the pin, and the title changes hands by some other way, with the two other challengers taking care of one another and Reigns looking fine even though getting an L. Or the third way is he loses. He drops both titles or what have you. Like, what do we do here? Because it seems like they got to come to a decision sometime soon. It may be here sooner than we expect. Which way do you think WWE should do if they're frustrated with Roman Reigns being the W double champion right now?
So, I mean, we talked about this for Clash at the Castle. My thing was do a double pin. Both guys are down. There's an arm over each guy. You basically end up calling the match a draw, and then that way you can separate the belts. A triple threat match would work, but at the same time, if they don't want Roman to lose at all, technically in a triple threat match, even if you don't get pinned, you're still losing the match. So the flip side is you could also do the draft. And if you remember from a couple years ago when they did the draft, they had the USA Network and the Fox representatives that were supposedly running the draft. And then basically put the blame on USA. Have USA, when you do the draft, you're like, oh, and we're taking our Raw championship back to the USA Network because we have to have a world champion here. And then put the blame. I mean, that way Roman's kind of stripped in a sense of that belt, and he's not losing in a match. It's just the network or the executives are taking it back to the Raw brand. And they honestly, they need to do the same thing with the tag team division, because right now, if I'm not mistaken, I think almost all the tag teams are on SmackDown now.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, I'm like, the Street Profits are here. What? American Alpha's here. What? Like, all these tag teams are now showing up on SmackDown. So that would be my out, is literally just strip them of the belts and blame the network. And that way they have the it's almost like having the anonymous GM. Like, just the fans just kind of hate USA for it, you know. And then we do what Jeff wants, what Jeff's favorite thing is to do, is come back after the draft and the first night out, you have a tournament
yeah.
to crown a new champion to represent the Raw brand. So that's how I would do it.
You know, they've done this before, Dr. Trey. You got to go back to 2002, right? So they had the brand extension. Brock Lesnar is working as the undisputed WWE champion, and he's working both brands. Sometimes he's feuding. They were like doing it back and forth. It was like the champion would feud with someone on SmackDown, and then the next pay-per-view they would feud with somebody on Raw, and back and forth, back and forth. So when Bischoff and Stephanie were then general managers of both shows, Bischoff on Raw, Stephanie on SmackDown, they ran an angle at the end of Raw that I think Triple H won like a battle royal to be the number one contender against Brock Lesnar. End of the show ends with Lesnar, Stephanie McMahon saying to Eric Bischoff, this match isn't happening because Brock has signed an exclusive contract with SmackDown. And then he's on SmackDown. Next week, Eric Bischoff awards, which people hated, awarded the World Heavyweight, the returning World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold belt to Triple H. I think that's the way you do it again, Dr. Trey. Like, just say Reigns is now saying he's exclusive to SmackDown. We need to have a Raw world champion. And, you know, SmackDown has a Universal title, or they rename it the SmackDown World Champion, and then they develop the Raw World Championship like they did for the women's title. Like, I don't think it's as hard as they're making it out to be, and it could still protect Roman Reigns as an undefeated beast that's held the title for over 700 plus days.
And it's been 20 years since they did that angle, so it's new to younger fans. It'd just be like for us, like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of remember they did that kind of before. And then, hey, maybe they bring back the big gold belt, which is still one of my favorite belts of all time.
I love that belt, right? Like that to me and the winged eagle for WWE were my favorite belts of all time.
It's my favorite world championship belt. And it's funny, so after my divorce, I was dating this girl, and she asked me one year for my birthday what I wanted. I'm like, oh, I want to get a replica belt of the world championship. And instead of getting me the big gold belt, she got me the Brock Lesnar unified championship belt, which I still have. But the big gold belt is my favorite world championship belt of all time. And then, the old NWA silver and red television championship is actually my favorite championship looking belt of all time.
Are you asking listeners to buy you that belt?
If I started a GoFundMe to buy me a belt, I would appreciate it.
That would be fun. There's got to be a GoFundMe out there, right, for this?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know Dave Milliken, and Dave has most of the belts in his collection. So, really, I could just go to his house and take pictures with it, a la Shawn Michaels and Playgirl, and put them on our website. But then it'd crash.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it'd be flagged. I think our page would then be flagged. But whatever, right? It's all forward as long as you get the big gold belt.
Controversy creates cash. We learned that from Eric Bischoff.
That's right. Feel free to chime in at SRT Podcast, facebook.com/The Stone Real Toast Show. What the hell WWE should do with the double championship that is currently surrounding the waist of one Roman Reigns. Last thing I want to talk about here, Dr. Troy, we talk about this every year, even though we don't read the magazine, or at least I don't. I don't know if you do. But PWI, Pro Wrestling Insider, announced their PWI 500 for 2022, their top 10. We'll go through the top 10 list here, 10 to 1, and we'll get your thoughts. Number 10 was John Gresham from, I think he's still with ROH. I don't know. Number 9 was Big E in WWE. Number 8 was Hio Del Vikingo from AAA. Number 7 was Brian Danielson from AEW. Number 6, Cody Rhodes from WWE. Number 5, and I'm happy for this guy, Bobby Lashley, WWE. Number 4, Hangman Adam Page, AEW. Number 3, CM Punk, AEW. Number 2, Kazuchika Okada, New Japan Pro Wrestling. And number 1, the tribal chief, the head of the table, the man that we just talked about, one Roman Reigns, WWE. Dr. Trey, your thoughts on the list. Do they get it right with Reigns being the number one guy in all of wrestling for 2022?
Yeah, the Reigns part they got right. And really the top five, I can't really argue with the top five based on their criteria. Because the only issue I would have would be Punk, because part of the criteria is, you know, no major gaps because of injuries. And, you know, he was off for a couple months after he won the world championship, because I think it ended at, well, let's see, he came back in September. So, I mean, he'd only been out a couple weeks in June, by the end of June of this year. So maybe that's why he's fine with it. You know, Cody at 6, I thought that was a little high. And as much as we love Big E, Big E missed half the year with his neck injury. So I thought that was a little high. And then Moxley, I think Moxley was 11. So maybe you switch Big E and Moxley. That might have been my only issue. I mean, there were some people in the top 20. Like Kenny Omega was like 19, I think. And I'm like, probably should have been behind Jericho at least, because at least Jericho didn't really miss time with an injury, but Omega did. But outside of that, I mean, really, even in the top 10, I don't know Hingo Del Vecchino or whatever you said his name. I don't know him at all. So I can't really argue with that one, because I don't know if that's good or bad. But I mean, really, I probably would have had Josh Alexander in the top 10. Just I think he had a great year as well. So maybe slide, like I said, maybe I mean, Gresham had a great year, but I maybe would have slid Cody back to 10, push Gresham back to 11, move Moxley and Josh Alexander in the top 10.
You know who I was really happy for was Bobby Lashley being number 5.
Yeah, I was really happy for him. And then also, so one of the independent guys, AC Mack, who came in at number 25, which he may have been the highest rated independent. Well, I think Matt Cardona was ahead of him. If you go off just strictly like free agents, not signed to any company in any way. But AC Mack, who's never really been on any of the major brands other than that, I think he's been on like a couple episodes of AEW Dark. But AC Mack worked at Rocket City. He's one of those guys that we talk about, like, go out and support your local indie shows because you never know, break out big. AC Mack's one of those guys. So seeing him all the way up to 25, I just kind of brought out like a little pitter-pat to my heart, because I love that guy. He's a fantastic human being.
Surprised Rollins didn't make the top 10?
A little, but if you go off win-loss records, I mean, really, like, he was maybe – I think he only won like 60% of his matches this year.
Like, but does that? Do you think that matters for a guy like him? Because I think if Jericho had the same, I'd be like, well, it's still Chris Jericho.
It depends. So for me, like, if it's my list, no, that like win loss doesn't matter. I just go off most. You know, for me, I go off availability and entertainment when it comes to pro wrestling. Like, do when that guy's in the ring, am I entertained by him? And then, you know, as long as he's not missing 6 months of the year with an injury. But they did put the caveat in there of a win loss record. And when you look at a guy like Roman, who hasn't been pinned, and Okada, who loses like what, like once every 8 months, Okada loses clean. You know, they do put that in there. So I it's hard for me to fault them on their list if they use a win loss criteria, which is one thing I've always, we've talked about the AEW. Like, they put guys on Dark and Elevation to pad their win loss records. So when you cycle them up to Dynamite, it's like, oh, he's won 37 matches in a row. It's like, well, yeah, he was wrestling nobodies on Dark and Elevation for 2 months. That's why he's got a 27 match win streak. So you know, like, to me, like, I mean, how do you not, like, if you're going off pure wrestling ability and entertainment, like, Seth's in the top 10, AJ's in the top 10, you know, but that list, I mean, there's so much talent out there right now. It's kind of hard to shove everybody you love into the top 10 because you're always going to leave somebody out who's very well deserving of that spot.
So who would be your top five right now? 5-1.
If we're going off like my criteria, like Roman's one, I'd probably have Moxley 2. Wow. And then I'm gonna end up leaving out the New Japan guys because I don't really watch New Japan, but I'd have Moxley at 2. I'd probably literally basically the Shield would be 1, 2, and 3 because I love Seth right now. Seth's doing some of his best work of all time. I'd probably have, I love Josh Alexander. I'd probably have him at 5. And then, and then 4 would be my hard spot because there's about 5 or 6 because I don't have Hangman as high as everybody else does because I don't find him that entertaining. I don't know. I'd probably put Bryan Danielson at 4. So I'd probably have the Shield 1, 2, 3, Danielson at 4, and Alexander at 5.
I was surprised Will Ospreay didn't make the top 10 list as well.
Yeah, I know they love Will Ospreay. Like, I was surprised.
He's so good.
And then, like, Jay White was a little bit lower than I thought he was as well, you know, because, like, and Jay White basically ran the gambit of New Japan because he was, what, the open weight champion, then all the way back up to being the IWGP champion.
The guy.
So, like, he had a great year as well. So, you know, there's some guys on that list that I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think Moose got a pretty good score this year, too. And really, like, you know, like, he was higher up than he usually is. So there's a lot of people that were getting some love. And then, hell, The Miz was at 150, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. So it's kind of like, yeah, that's where that win-loss record comes in. Because who the hell doesn't love watching The Miz work? Like, the guy's incredible. And you have him at 150. And I'm like, and the guy at 149 is a friend of mine. And I'm just like, yeah, I love that guy, but he's not better than The Miz. So it's, you know, the rankings sometimes are kind of skewed a little bit because they do base it off a lot of win-loss. And I think The Miz only won like 25% of his matches this year.
Yeah, I guess looking at some of the names, obviously we don't know Io Del Vikingo really well from AAA. Big E, I could get on board with what you're saying. Gresham, I mean, I was surprised to be in the top 10 when there's other people that should be in there. Moxley, obviously, as you're pointing out, Will Ospreay, who I'm pointing out. So I think Gresham was definitely a big surprise. I think.
Yeah, but I do think so. I think a little bit of the Gresham spot is because of his, like, walking out of AEW, and they're kind of, it's kind of like the Sasha Naomi love that, you know, if you're siding with the worker mentality, it's like, hey, that guy said, screw this. Like, I mean, Gresham carried that Ring of Honor championship after the company basically folded and was just going around the country defending that title all over the place. And then Tony buys up Ring of Honor and is like, yeah, we're gonna put the belt on Claudio. And he's just like, nah, screw that. I carried this company when there was no company. So he gets a lot of love for that. But at the same time, I'm like, I just don't see him having I don't think he had a better year than Josh Alexander or Jon Moxley.
You really love it on Josh Alexander there.
I love Josh Alexander. He's a
great wrestler. I don't know if he's top 10 though, Dr. Trey. I got to be honest.
I mean, if you're going off the criteria PWI put out, I would say he is. And then just off my favorites to watch, like, everything he does is so intense. And then plus he wrestles in headgear, which is, you know, I have a soft spot for Rick Steiner from the Varsity Club. So,
and Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, the wig.
Yeah, so he gets a little bit extra love for that too. So plus, I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I see the pictures, and he does everything. His son, like, imitates him, dude. I'm like, it's so cool to see his son. Like, he does videos of his son coming out and doing his entrance. Like, some of that stuff is just as a dad also. So he gets love here in the dad spot. And, you know, plus I always go back to him and Ethan Page together because that tag team was fantastic also.
The North was awesome. That is very true. So there you go. PWI 500 Top 10 from 2022. Feel free to chime in with your thoughts at SRTU Podcast on Twitter. Dr. Trey, that will do it for this week's edition of the show. Lots to discuss here. Looking forward to next week. We'll know who the new AEW World Champion is, we think, unless something crazy happens. So we'll talk about that on next week's show. And who knows if there's more stuff to talk about in regards to all the backstage drama that is going on in the wonderful world of AEW right now. With that said, let's get a couple plugs and sponsors out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at realguyradio.com, WrestleChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Realtor Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTU Jeff, and for Dr. Trey Franklin at The Dr. Trey. And of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTU Podcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at The Dr. Trey. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling, as they're putting up some really good shows over the last few weeks. Also, go out and check out your local independent shows, because if you go through that PWI 500, guess what? 300 of those guys are independent wrestlers. So they're floating around the country. And then also, go out and support your local state fairs, because... Dude, I had bacon-wrapped bacon and then bacon-wrapped corn dog the other night. And, oh, my God, I just felt like I felt my arteries just clogging up as I looked at it, even before it went into my mouth.
I was just going to say, you know, Dr. Troy, we've got to make sure that your cardiologist is aware of this.
Yeah, bacon-wrapped bacon was not good. I was actually really disappointed in that. It was basically bacon-wrapped around fat. And then I was like, took one bite. But bacon-wrapped corn dog, fantastic.
Double deep-fried Oreos. It's a deep-fried Oreo that's then another deep-fried again.
So on one side of me at my booth, they have a slushy machine that comes in like 32-ounce cups. And then right on the other side of me is the Polish sausage guy, which that smells candy as cheesesteaks, fantastic. But the next booth is the fried Oreo guy.
Oh, so. There you go. There you go. Go out there and support Dr. Trey if you see him at your local state fair. He will sign your t-shirt. Right? You'll sign everybody's t-shirt. And then if you get him the big gold belt, he'll take a photo with you, maybe even kiss you on the cheek.
Yeah, the bad thing is, yeah, remember, Dr. Trey Franklin does not exist in the real world, so I have to use my real name.
Shit. Yeah. All right, don't use him. Don't bring up the government name. Don't bring up the government name. So, good show this week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Continue to spread the word about the Still Real Test show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the great things that are going on in the world of professional wrestling. It is a continued fun time to be a wrestling fan. Lots of good stuff going on. And until next week, for Dr. Trey Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. This is the Still Real Test Show. Thank you.